Good morning, everyone. This morning we'll be in James chapter 1. If you want to turn there, not too far from where we were last week in James chapter 4. As you're finding that, I just wondering, has anybody here ever tried something? Maybe you wanted to go out on a limb and try something new and you just didn't get it? Like, you guys don't have to ask, I don't embarrass anyone, but I'll give another personal example. I have a lot of examples of embarrassment, so I'll share. I was reading, not too long ago, that as you get older, one thing that helps keep your mind active is to learn something new. So a couple years ago, I thought, maybe I should try to learn a new language. How hard can that be? So of all languages, I picked French to try. Why I picked French, I don't know. But I worked at it a long time, and when you first start looking into it, there's a few phrases that you need to know. If you ever go to a place like France, you need to know how to say bonjour. Sorry, I'm already saying that with a southern accent. Bonjour. that's good day or hello. I hope that's your greeting there, and you need to know how to say merci, which is thank you. And you need to know how to say s'il vous plaît, which is, merci is thank you, s'il vous plaît is please. So if you learn those three phrases, you can be polite in France. but I kept studying it, and I worked at it pretty hard. I didn't put long nights into it. I would work on it a little bit every night. I wasn't taking a deep class. I was just using an app on my phone, a little bit each night. And, after doing it a while, I could, if I would see something written down, I could pick up a few things written down. But then I would hear somebody speak. And this is after I've been working on it a long time, and they might as well have been speaking Chinese. I got nothing from what they said. I just could not pick anything up. So, that was kind of discouraging when you get to that point, and you work at something, and you study it, but then you don't understand when you hear somebody speak in that. So I kind of resigned just to a couple more phrases to learn was je ne comprends pas. Does anybody speak French? Does anybody know what that means? Right, I don't understand. So I figured that was an important one to learn. The other one was J'aime pas parler français. I still said that with a southern accent. J'aime pas parler français. I don't speak French. That's another key one that I thought I should learn. But I haven't been able to go to France yet, so not even getting to use those. But when you think about why was I not able to get it? And the truth is, I don't know anyone that speaks French. So I never got to put it into practice. I never got to practice with anyone and, them speak back to me and respond. Everything was just book learning. And I just never could pick it up. Maybe someday I'll take a real class with someone that speaks it or something. But for right now, just couldn't get it. And that kind of goes along with what we're going to be looking at today. It's where we can read and learn things, but if we don't put it into practice, it's not going to be real to us. It's not going to benefit us like we want it to. So we're going to start reading this morning in James chapter 1, and we're going to start reading in verse 19, and we're going to go to the end of the chapter. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive the meekness of the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. Lord, we thank you for your word. And as we go through this passage this morning, I just pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, help us how we can know and serve you better through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our passage this morning starts in verse 19. And it starts there. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." And whenever you see that word "wherefore," you kind of need to take a step back and look, you know, because that's referring to really because of, or so you need to look and see what was just being talked about right before that. And if we back up a couple verses to verse 17, it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." There, if you look back in those verses and you see what the wherefore is talking about, there in specifically in verse 18, it's talking about there, of his own will he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits. It's talking there that we are his children because of the perfect gift that he sent down to us, his son, Jesus Christ. And when he talks about us being first fruits, that means our lives should be a sacrifice for him, being a worthwhile sacrifice. Because of all that he did for us, it's talking about all good things come from above, from the Father of lights. He sent his son to us. There's nothing better than that. And and now we have an opportunity to give our lives to him as a living sacrifice. We know, we're all familiar with Romans 12:1. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." So when we look at what we're going to look at today in the light of that our lives should be a sacrifice for him, that our lives should be a vessel for him to use. And we look at the verses we look at today in light of that, we see that he's telling us how we should prepare our lives for that life of service. And he starts there in verse 19. He says, "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Yeah. As God's children, we need to be willing to listen to what he has to say. We need to be attentive to his word, his leading. And we also need to be willing to listen to others too, because in his word, he shows us his compassion, and that compassion should flow out to others. And, we said in here we should be swift to hear. That means that's what should become first, is listening. First listening to God, and then our hearts should go out to others and listening to what they want. You know, when we do, we're sharing God's compassion to others. When we listen, not just pretend to listen, but we really listen to what their need. And it also says here, it doesn't say we're not supposed to speak. We're supposed to be slow to speak. That means we need to consider carefully how we respond. And, you know, in the light of God's word, what would God want us to say in this? And, you know, our flesh, we want to do this in reverse order. We want to give our opinion right away. We want to talk. Anybody have know people that just like to talk all the time? You know, I don't be thinking of any names really, but I shouldn't have asked it like that. But I've been around people. It's kind of funny if you get two people like that in the same room talking, and I've seen it with my own eyes that two people just talking away at the same time, knowing that neither one is listening to the other. And usually if it's in a group of three, whenever I usually don't get to say anything, And it's kind of hard to even listen because they're trying to talk over each other so often. But God doesn't want us doing that. That's not how we prepare our lives to be a use for Him. We need to be considerate about what we say. We need to not just speak out and get our way. Again, it starts with humility, which keeps coming up in these lessons that we've been having. So, so we should be quick to hear, slow to speak, and then it finishes out there, slow to wrath. You know, sometimes we get angry when people don't want to hear our point of view. And, you know, that should not be our response. And he goes on and makes it more clear in the next verse, where he says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." So, you know, people don't listen to us. Maybe we get angry. That's our response. Well, God's saying that should not be our response. We want to get back at someone. Think about, you know, keep giving this example when you're in traffic. You know, somebody cuts you off. What do you want to do? You want to cut them back off again. Make sure they don't get ahead of you. That shouldn't be our response there. And he reminds us, again, in the book of Romans chapter 12, it says, you know, verse 19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." You know, we want, you know, we see somebody doing something wrong, and we want them to be punished. And, you know, a lot of times we want to make them pay. But the Bible makes it clear that's not our job. God will judge those who don't obey Him, those that that sin, those that are evil. God's going to judge them. We're supposed to show love to them and try to bring them to the Lord. That should be our focus. God's going to take care of the judgment. We need to focus on sharing His love, because God doesn't want to punish people. The pastors made that clear on our other recent messages. You know, it's not, but because He is good, because He is just, He has to. And He would rather people turn to Him. And being His vessels here, His servants, we should be trying to help those people to find the Lord. And there, since we've received the word of truth, we should seek the righteousness of God, and it should show in our compassion to others, regardless of how we're treated. You know, we need to not allow anger to control our lives. We need to put that aside. We need to show compassion and love for others and trust that someday God's going to take care of he's the one that's going to take care of the justice. We need to show His love to others. And here it goes on here, and we get to verse 21. It says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive the meekness with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." And again, we have another verse here that says, "Wherefore," and it goes back to the previous verse where it ends with, you know, we should have the righteousness of God there. So to do that, you know, we need to put sin out of our lives. You know, if we're going to be God's vessel, if we're going to serve Him here on this earth and live as a sacrifice, people need to see a difference in our lives. If they see us living a sinful life, nothing different from them, they're not going to be listening to us. They'll basically call, you know, we're hypocrites when we do that. And you know, there's things that we need to get out of our life. If we have sin in our life, it needs to be gotten out of our life. So, and if we're not purifying our lives like that, getting those things out, then He's not going to be able to use us like He wants to be. So sin, whether it's anger, whether it's selfishness, or any other evil thing, it needs to be removed from our lives. We need to work on getting those things out of our life. And, you know, there it refers to God's saving word. That should be a part of us. As we go back there, it says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. So we're supposed to humbly receive God's word into our life. And when it says engrafted there, that means it needs to become part of us. And when it becomes part of us, others should see that compassion that Jesus showed so often in his walk here on this earth. That should show in our lives. And when we're humble, that means, you know, we make it part of our lives. We're not going to have any trouble allowing God's Spirit to rule over our hearts if we're humble and willing to put him in control of our life. So the key here is having a spirit of humility while allowing God's Spirit to control us. So our spirit needs to be that of humility and allowing God to control our actions. So here he's kind of, these first few verses, he's showing us how we need to prepare ourselves to be used. And then in the next few verses, we're going to see a little more application here on how we're supposed to use that. In verse 22, it says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So the first thing we need to understand here is that we do need to learn and listen to God's word. It needs to become a part of us, like the previous verse said. It needs to be engrafted in us. We need to internalize it, and we need to truly know it. But it shouldn't just be inside. It needs to come out. And that comes out by being obedient to what God's telling us to do. You know, a lot of times, you know, it's easy to read and to know something, but it's hard to put it into practice. Thinking back when I was trying to learn French there, I was spending a few nights learning words, learning phrases. You know, it wasn't that hard to learn. But I never made the effort to go out and find somebody to practice with, to put it into practice. That's why I failed there. You know, I learned a few things, but not enough to be useful there. So, the difference here is we need to make an effort. And it goes back to the verse we looked at last week in James 4, verse 17. It says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So as we internalize God's word, we know what God wants us to do. But if we don't do it, what does God call that? He calls it sin. And that's why it's important that it does come out in our life. And he goes on in the next couple of verses to kind of clarify that even more. In verse 23 and 24, it says, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So there he gives us an illustration about, you know, if we only hear the word and we don't do it, it's like a man beholding his face in a glass. So think about when you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror, when you've just gotten up, what do you see? Do you see someone that's perfect and ready to start the day? It's kind of scary when I get up and look in the mirror sometimes. You know, the hair, you know, my hair is so short right now, it doesn't really do much. But sometimes, you know, it's all over the place. You've got bags under your eyes. Your eyes are still squinty. You see things that you need to take care of before you start the day. And, you know, I can think of times where, you know, I get up and look and I get distracted and I go away. And then I've gotten to work and I was like, oh, I forgot to shave this morning. And I didn't realize it at the time. So, you know, if we don't do it right then, you know, usually we're going to forget to do things. And it's important that we do pay attention to those things. So when we get up in the morning, we see things that need to be fixed. And if we don't do that, then, you know, we're going to go away and we're going to forget to fix those things that we need to. And when we look at God's word or when we hear a message and the Lord says, you need to fix this in your life, and then we don't deal with it, we're going to forget about it, no matter how good the message was. You know, no matter how convicted we got at that moment, if we don't act on it, you know, it's not going to become part of our lives. And he makes that clear in Luke chapter 6. These are verses that we're familiar with, but just want to give a reminder of what the context is on these verses. So in Luke chapter 6, verse 47, it says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." So here we see in verse 49 here, he describes exactly what we're talking about here. He says, "But he that heareth and doeth not is like that man that built his house," like this song we used to sing, "on the sand." And when you build a house on the sand or without a solid foundation, it's not going to stand. We saw what storms can do to houses recently. An example, I don't know if you've heard of the Millennium Tower in San Francisco. This is a tower that was built, I think it may be the tallest apartment tower in downtown San Francisco. It was opened in 2009. This is mostly just residences, and the apartments in there, I think, ranged anywhere from $1 million to $20 million for these apartments. Well, this is a 58-story building in San Francisco. And what is San Francisco known for? Earthquakes. Do you know when they built this building, they did not get the pylons all the way down to the bedrock? Usually that's required in building, but they built them and tried to spread it out where it would be in just the earth, the compacted earth there. And guess what happened on this building? It started sinking and leaning. And here this builder, I think it cost $350 million to build. And in the 15 years or so since they built it, they spent over $100 million trying to fix it. People are still living in it. I don't know that I would live in a 58-story leaning building in an earthquake-prone city, but they've paid so much for those apartments or those condos that I guess they're not willing to leave. But last I heard, a couple years ago, they thought they had it stabilized, but they're still not sure. But that's what's happened when you don't build your foundation on the rock. It's not strong. And if we go back to what we're saying here, if we're listening to God's word and we're learning it, but we're not putting it into practice, that's what God is liking this to, is when the storms come, we're not going to stand. We're going to fall. We're going to be damaged. We're not going to be able to stand strong. And he goes on in the next verse, and he tells us what we need to do. It says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Here he talks about there, he begins, the perfect law of liberty. It's to live a life of love and service directed by the Holy Spirit. We're not under the Old Testament law anymore. And as Paul's told us, that doesn't mean we can go around and sin freely, because our sins are forgiven. But what that means is now we can serve Jesus freely, and we can turn our lives over to his Spirit to be controlled there, and, you know, again, directed by the Holy Spirit. But we do that when we're willing to do what he tells us to do. We should be living a life that of loving God. By how do we do that? By keeping his commandments and loving others. That means putting his word into practice. being a doer of the word gives us that strong foundation that will stand when trials come our way. Let me go back and just read the verse again there in Luke chapter 6. So talking about those that do his word, I'll read verse 47 again. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. So, you know, we read in God's word about God being our rock. But is God really our rock? He's strong. We know that he's a strong foundation. But what's the problem there? It's us. Are we trusting him? When we obey his word and when we do it, we are showing that we trust in what he's told us. It's showing a faith, and we're establishing what we do on that rock. So God becomes the rock in our life when we trust him enough to put his commandments into action. And if we're not trusting him, you know, we're building our house on the sand. And when trials come, we're not going to be able to stand up. And he's letting us know in these verses that we're showing our trust. And really, the book of James goes back to that theme that our faith is shown in our works. We're not saved by our works, but if our faith is true, our works are going to reflect a faith in God. So do we need to make sure that God is the rock in our life? And then he goes on to give us a little more direction there and how we should live. In verse 26, it says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. It jumps here and it talks about our tongue. And our tongue truly does come out and show what's in our heart. And, it can do actions in the wrong way, but it can also do it in the right way. Our tongue can do more damage than most things can. We have to be careful. We need to be able to bridle our tongue, is the way he describes it here. A lot of times, we become prideful in what we know. And, even though, if we spend time in God's word, we get a lot of head knowledge. But even if we're not living it out, the pride tends to build up. And sometimes, our tongue is going to come out sounding prideful or pious to others. If they don't see us living that, they're not going to listen to us. So we need to be careful how we talk to others and make sure that our life backs up what we're saying. The way to control our tongue, the Bible makes, we can't control our tongue. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to rule in our lives, he can control what we say and how we say it. So when we obey God's word and put it into action, when we actually do follow his commandments and put them into actions, we understand at that point how much we need him. It is actually humbling when we start to serve him and put those things into action and realize how hard it is sometimes with people stand up against us or try to put us down. But when we do that, we get stronger. We go through those hard times. It makes us stronger. And, it helps us realize that we need to be willing to surrender every part of our lives to him. And even our tongue, especially our tongue. We need to make sure that every part of our life is surrendered to him. So he tells us there, he gives us a warning about that. But then he goes on and tells us what we should be. And that's in verse 27. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So we know in Jesus' life, he showed compassion to children. He showed compassion to widows, to those that were hurting, the crippled, the lame. And he gave us a wonderful example that we should help and be willing to help those people. And if God's word is engrafted in us and it's going to come out in our lives, it's going to show by loving those people and helping every chance we get. You know, if we're doers of the word, it's going to show that we love others. If we're active in living out God's grace in our lives, you know, we're naturally going to stay as far away from sin as we possibly can. Here it ends the verse to say, unspotted from the world. So the closer we live to God, the farther away we're going to get from that sin that's in the world. So, you know, by keeping sin out of our lives, we're going to remain available for God's service. Because if we allow it in, if we allow it to control our lives, he's not going to be able to use us. So here in these verses, he's laid out, you know, how we can be a vessel for him, how we can be you know, a living sacrifice. So because we're God's children and our life should be a living sacrifice, we need to make sure that we are hearing and listening to what he has to say. That should result in a compassionate interest in what others have to say. We need to be putting selfish things such as anger and vengeance out of our lives and replacing them with his righteousness. We need to remove sin from our lives and humbly make God's word a part of us. When we're humble, we can allow it to control us. When it does become a part of us, we'll put it into action in our lives. As we look into the word, we see changes that need to be made in our life. It talks about the mirror there. The deeper we spend, we need to look into his word. We need to study it. And we see the things in our lives that we need to change. And the key there is to make those changes. We need to make them immediately or we're going to go back on our old ways. We see kids go to camp and make professions. Camp is a wonderful place where they come and they get their hearts right. But when they get back, they need to put those things they learned into action or they're going to go away, just like the person that puts his face in the mirror. The same thing when we have our messages here on Sunday morning, whether it's go down front and make a commitment, even if we do that, if we don't put it into action when we leave here, it's going to go away. We need to make sure that we put those things into action. So when we remember that we are God's children, that we belong to him, we're his vessels, we're going to live a life that shows compassion towards others and is going to establish our availability for him to use. That means keeping our lives pure and keeping our testimony clean. So, yes, we need to hear and listen to God's word. It's very important. But if our foundation is going to be on the rock, we need to be doers of God's word. It needs to be not just in our heads, but in our hearts coming out and living it every day. And I hope each and every one of us will make that commitment. It's hard. God works in our hearts so many times when we're here hearing pastor preaching a message to us or when we have visitors, however. But if we don't go out from here and put it into practice in our everyday lives, it's not going to stay with us. So let's be faithful. Let's be diligent to do that and be vessels that God can use. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. Lord, we thank you that you give us the opportunity to serve you. And Lord, I pray that we would take that by letting your word become a part of us and letting it come out in the way we live. Lord, help us to be faithful and diligent for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.